Welcome to I'm sorry. Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. Sorry, we got to keep it down. Adam's still a little bit hungover.
Oh, God, what did I do last night? Oh, my God.
It has been a day, folks. Let me tell you. We got this man rather turnt, I believe, is what the kids like to call it.
Yeah, you guys did a great job, thank you. But it wasn't too bad to where, I was picking fights with anybody or crying or anything like that. It was good. It was a good time.
And trust me, we appreciate that you were not, in fact, crying or picking fights.
No, it was a good time. Everybody came out in full force, and we just celebrated music and the fact that I turned 50. And
celebrated music, and most importantly, me.
I tried not to make it sound like it was, because some people were calling it like Adam Palooza. I'm like, oh God,
here Adam's self-indulgent 50th birthday party. I believe that was my name for it.
Yeah, I was worried that was going to turn into that, but I was like, hey, it was a nice excuse to get people together.
What better excuse to get people together than me?
That's right. That's right. That's all about me. But no, it was a great time. Thank you to you and Eddie and everybody who came out. And Mike Shireen, we haven't seen him around these parts in a long time, so it was good to see him.
I started to think he didn't actually exist.
He's been MIA the whole time.
Yeah, so, who knew?
So yeah, it was good. It was good to see. Good times were had by all.
Indeed they were. And even more good times are going to be had this weekend because it is finally, at long last, the NFL season starts.
Woohoo!
Actually, technically started last night, but the Lions season, which is what we really care about around here, starts Sunday night.
Sunday night against
Sunday
the Rams.
Night against the Rams.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. You're going to be playing a team that you should very much be able to beat. In a year where you're expected to contend, and even better yet, Kelly Stafford's not going to be there.
Really? She's already said she's not coming?
Yeah, she said she's not coming because she got all offended last time because she claims her and her kids got booed when she was there. Like, I guarantee you, look, we are a rowdy bunch here in Detroit, and we've really kind of... Most of us are long over the Stafford thing, but
yep.
No one was booing your kids.
No.
I guarantee you no one was booing your kids. That's just you trying to make yet another something else about you.
Yeah. Here she makes a formal announcement that she's not coming. She could have just not shown up and everything would have been just fine.
Right.
They weren't booing your kids. They were booing you.
Right. And I'm fine with them booing you because, honestly, I could stand for you to go away forever.
Yeah, right.
Kind of done with that nonsense. She said she plans to watch the season opener from home following a Detroit live show on September 7th, months after her and the couple's four daughters were subject to boos at Ford Field. Physically, I'm not attending. After our amazing, amazing live show, I'm going to hop on a plane and head home so I can watch it with my daughters here, so that's the plan. Good for you. Whatever.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, don't even care, quite frankly, a little bit. What I do care about is that football is finally back, and I am 110% here for it. Let's dive right into this thing. Let's get right into the game preview, shall we?
Let's do it.
They're taking on the Rams Sunday night. Home opener in Detroit, and I'm actually kind of bummed that I can't go. I'll be honest, I'd probably be trying to score tickets to this thing if I didn't have to like work and stuff.
Right?
But... looking at this thing, just for breaking down the X's and O's, really. Like, the Lions' pass offense last year was easily a top 10 unit in the NFL. The Rams were not very good at stopping the pass, by and large. They weren't terrible, but they also weren't great. But they've made a few changes this offseason. They lost Aaron Donald, of course, but they added... a couple guys who were early round draft picks on the D-line, first rounder Jared Verse, second round pick Braden Fiske, and they finished in the bottom 10 in sacks last year. They lost 12 and a half of those 41 sacks that they had with Aaron Donald and also Ernest Jones, their linebacker, both having left. Could these new guys make up for that? Maybe. They've also completely overhauled their secondary, added a bunch of veteran guys, but you're also talking guys who've come off of major injuries, and in the case of Darius Williams, just got placed on the IR, as a matter of fact.
No.
And so between, like, John Johnson and Tre'Davious White, guys who've were kind of getting up there, you know, from a at least from a positional standpoint, and White in particular having been through two major injuries, you kind of wonder what they're going to be able to do to stop guys like J-Mo and Laporta. And trust me, with the Lions' offense, there are plenty of go-to options here. Now, you have a couple things that have changed from last season, that Josh Reynolds is gone and never was really replaced entirely. And also, Jonah Jackson is gone, and they replaced him with Kevin Zeitler, as you'll remember. But you are... That's not the worst thing that you could have had happen, but also Zeitler is, I believe, 7 years older than Jackson, so you are getting older at that position, even if you are adding a Pro Bowl caliber player. Now, what you need to have happen here, ideally if you're Detroit, is that Jameson Williams needs to step it up in a big way. Like, he is the reason you could feel okay with letting a Josh Reynolds go, because presumably he's going to step up and he's going to take what would have been those targets that Reynolds was getting. And you're still plenty other targets on that roster for him, because obviously Amon-Ra St. Brown is as good as any number one wide receiver in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Laporta is, I would say, the best tight end right now in the NFL.
Whoa.
Jahmyr Gibbs has been very involved in the passing game and will likely continue to be. And then the hope is that J-Mo steps up as well. This is a matchup I like quite a bit for Detroit, because the middle of the Rams defense is somewhat vulnerable, really. And I expect Laporta to do some pretty major damage to this team. He only had, of course, three catches in the playoff matchup, but you'll remember he was injured.
Right.
He's just coming back off an injury. So I expect him to get some targets. I expect him to have a big game on Sunday. This is one where I really like the Lions' odds in particular. Like, you should be able to kind of carve up what is somewhat of a bit of a patchwork pass defense. Your running game, we know how strong that was last year on the backs of Jahmyr Gibbs and, of course, David Montgomery, and the O-line was also pretty good at creating lanes for those guys to do what they do.
That was so good to see, because for so long, the Lions didn't have an O-line, they didn't have a running game to speak of. So that was really good to see last season.
Well, when you have a couple like All-Stars in Ragnow and Penei Sewell, that's the sort of thing that tends to happen. Yeah. And Zeitler's not bad at run blocking either. So you're not going to – I don't expect you're going to see significant regression there. You've got a fully healthy David Montgomery this year. Yet Jahmyr Gibbs, who is only going to build on the performance that we saw from him last year, I expect that – I don't really think you're going to take a step back in really any way fully. I mean, we saw what that kind of thunder and lightning duo of Montgomery and Gibbs could do last year, and Montgomery's had, you know, some time to recover. I feel like it's a really good matchup here, particularly because the run defense for the Rams is just kind of fair to middling, really. So, looking at that, like the odds a lot already. Now, looking at the passing game, and as far as that goes, the Rams' offense last season, kind of down the stretch, was about top five everywhere, and Matt Stafford torched your secondary in the playoff game. Of course, that game, he finished with 367 passing yards, 10.2 yards per attempt, and two touchdowns. And you're bringing back Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp and DeMarcus Robinson. Kyren Williams is back in the backfield, along with Blake Corum, so that's going to be fun. We'll get to that in a minute. Uh-huh. Tyler Higbee is going to be out for this week, as he suffered a torn ACL in that playoff game last year. Most of your changes on offense are more your O-line guys. And they were bottom third in pass blocking last year, but sixth in sacks allowed. Like, they at least were able to get rid of the ball quickly, because Stafford kind of had to. But I don't expect even Jonah Jackson's going to help that out all that much. This might be actually pretty good. And better yet, because you're missing two of your normal starting O-linemen, Jonah Jackson's now going to be playing center, and your left tackle, Eric Jackson, he's suspended, and your right tackle's out or at least was limited in practice with an ankle injury. This could go really well. This actually might be exactly the week that you want to face Stafford and company. And then as far as your defense, they've also gone through quite a few personnel changes, shall we say. Last year, of course, you had Cam Sutton, Kendall Vildor, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, and Melifonwu and C.J. Gardner-Johnson as your safeties. This year, you've basically switched out everybody in that group except for Joseph and Brian Branch, who's moved over to safety from the nickel. And you've added Mike Robertson and Tyrion Arnold and, of course, your free agent signing from Tampa Bay, Carlton Davis. So new starters at four of the five positions, everyone except Kirby Joseph, basically. And hard to say yet if that's going to be an upgrade, but I don't think it's going to be any worse than what you put out there last year. I mean, this is still where the Rams should, in theory, have an advantage, but if you can kind of take advantage of that patchwork O-line, I don't see any problems in getting to Stafford and making him force a couple bad throws. As far as the run game goes, like, no one was better at stopping the run last year than Detroit. I mean, there was not any team that was better at that in the NFL. There was a couple changes this year. You swapped out Benito Jones for DJ Reader this offseason, and you've added Marcus Davenport on the edge. And otherwise, it's mostly the same. Like, the linebacking core is the same as it was last year. Hopefully, Jack Campbell will take that great leap forward. And I do expect the Rams to be a little bit better than they were last year in that, you know, you've added Blake Corum. That's kind of a big thing. The addition of him in the backfield is definitely going to make things quite difficult. Like, even if Kyron Williams ain't out on the field, you're still going to have a hell of a time. But this is a matchup where, again, I like Detroit here. All the way around. Like, the only thing that is a little bit of concern is that you're basically running out of entirely new past defense, essentially. Like, your starting five is almost completely overhauled from last year. That's the one place where I'm kind of, well, I don't know. Stafford could have him a day. But for the most part, it's a matchup that I think favors Detroit quite well. We'll talk about it. We'll lay down the picks later on in the show, obviously.
Picks, yes. Yes.
But it is one of those matchups where I feel like the Lions should be favored, and ultimately for good reason. And you never know. This could be a matchup that we once again get a repeat of come playoff time.
Ooh.
Nice. I fully expect the Rams are going to be in the thick of it. We can do some predictions here coming up in a little bit, but I do think that the Rams are going to be very much a threat. And I'm not going to say the team to beat in the NFC West, because San Fran's still there, and they are that team until proven otherwise, but I wouldn't say that it's going to be a runaway. They're going to run away with the NFC West by any means this year. Like, yeah, the Rams could very well be a team that has to be dealt with come playoff time, and they're not going to be an easy team for most squads to get past. We'll get into all that coming up. We'll break down the season, we'll make our bold predictions and what have you. Of course, we'll do picks later. And, well, maybe we'll squeeze a little bit of college chalk in there somewhere. Maybe. Who knows? It's we got plenty of show left. There might very well be time for that. It is happy hour. Stick around. Much more to do. Much more football to do. So don't go anywhere. Back after this. So I know, shocking as it might be, there are other things that aren't the NFL that are going on this weekend.
You lie.
No, for real. Dead serious. All right. There is other stuff other than the National Football League that's going on this weekend. A couple different things, and it's going to kind of bring up a burning question we'll get to in a minute here.
Sure.
Of course, State is playing Maryland for whatever that might be worth. I don't even know if State's favored in that game. Michigan is getting set to play Texas in what's going to be the first real test of their season.
I'm a little surprised that they actually have some competition this early in the season.
I am too, admittedly, but it's a thing, and Michigan is not favored. Texas is a 7-point favorite in this thing. Michigan, number 10 ranked team in the country, a 7-point dog. And then the Tigers, they're doing things. They're still five games out of the wild card, but they're kind of on a surge of late. Yeah. They go and take on the Oakland Athletics for a three-game series, which, I mean, it's the team that not even its own fan base cares about at this point, so much less anyone in charge of it.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And that's kind of, I mean, it's kind of sad, but, I mean, the Tigers are kind of making an argument, aren't they? I mean, that game last night.
They've now surpassed the Red Sox for the wild card spot.
Yeah.
If you can believe that.
Talk about a team getting hot right at the right time.
That's just kind of the way it happens sometimes. Like, you just catch that spark at the right moment, and the young guys have gone a long way in that. Certainly, it's been nice to see Trey Sweeney, the guy you got in the Jack Flaherty deal, coming up and, you know, swinging a decent bat. He had one of the home runs that in, what was it, that, oh, was that the game I think they lost in extras the other night? But then Parker Meadows with the grand slam last night. Like, I was, when we were sitting up, I'm sitting there, and the Tigers, it's the top of the ninth. Tigers are down 3-0.
And shut out.
Yeah, to that point, shut out by the Padres. And we're sitting there at the bar, and Tara, the owner's like, oh, they'll be fine. They're going to lose. We're down to somehow two outs, top of the ninth. Like, this is your last call. Parker Meadows comes up out there and grand slam. Gets you right back in it and ultimately gets you the win. And with that, you pull ahead in that series ahead of Boston in the standings. So here's a little bit of admittedly a hypothetical here. You've got Michigan on Saturday against Texas, the Lions Sunday against the Rams, and the Tigers this weekend against the A's. And we'll give the whole series in this case, and you'll see why in a second. You got to pick one to guarantee the outcome that you want of that game, or in their case, series. Which one are you taking?
You have to pick one to do what now?
You have to pick one to guarantee the outcome that you want, to guarantee either a win of that series for Detroit, a sweep of the series for Detroit, or a win for the Lions, or a win for Michigan.
First of all, Michigan's already had a natty. We're not worried about them. The Tigers, I mean, they're playing some good ball now, but they've kind of made their own bed. And I think they're going to be forced to sleep in it. Yeah, they're going to probably do pretty well against the A's, but there's still some more games to be played. I think all of Michigan wants to see a very successful Detroit Lions team. So I'm going with the Lions.
That is that's a bold statement, and I don't disagree with it. But I think for me, and this is not necessarily guaranteeing that the other two teams are going to lose per se. But if you want to guarantee, you know, absolutely guarantee one, I feel like the Lions probably could beat the Rams anyway. It's also one game out of 17.
But you want to start off on the right foot.
You do. But also, and obviously Michigan doesn't apply to me because I want you to lose every single game you play this season. Even though we're already past the point where that can happen. But the Tigers have been out of the playoffs for so long. It's been about a decade at this point.
Yes.
And a three-game sweep of the A's would absolutely put you back in, if not contention, like that immediately puts you into wild card territory, man. Like all of a sudden now you're looking at actually making a playoff appearance, and you know, once you get there, I don't care if they get swept in the first round. I want playoff baseball in Detroit more than I've ever possibly wanted anything in my life. You cannot possibly fathom how much I want this. Like that three games would put you, depending on what, it would leapfrog you ahead of Seattle almost assuredly, as that team is just throwing away its season at this point. that would put you within striking distance of KC and the Astros. And I assume that, you know, Houston's probably ultimately going to hold on or come pretty close to. KC, I expect them to drop. I can't believe that they are going to remain in the playoff race. But then again, I'm surprised the Tigers are in the playoff race right now. Looking at what they've got coming up, they're playing the Yankees this weekend. So I fully expect that they could lose 2, if not 3 out of 3 in that series. Like, that all of a sudden puts you in a really good spot if you're a Tigers fan. The D-backs, who are they playing this weekend? The Astros are playing the D-backs, and then they go to Oakland. Lovely. I had the KC thing wrong, because they are playing the Yankees coming up, but they're playing the Twins this weekend. And I don't expect Minnesota's going to fall out of contention for the wild card. That's just not going to happen. Yeah. They're too good of a team. So that would put you in the driver's seat, just having really to overtake Houston if you have any faith that the Diamondbacks, who are, to be fair, 5 games out of the NL West, and they are currently in a wild card spot in their division as well. So I'm saying there's a chance. I think it's a very real possibility. You could do this. Tigers, like, it would be your luck that you would somehow manage to drop 2 of those games to Oakland. So, like, if I got to guarantee 1 win, if I got to pick the one that I want that outcome to happen, it's easily the Tigers for me. Just because I've been so deprived of playoff baseball for so long. All right, so we're technically, I guess, doing this a little bit late on account of the fact that, well, the season started last night, but, well, better late than before the Lions play, right?
Right, right.
So let's go ahead and do this thing. Let's get some bold predictions on the books. Maestro, the music, please. That music just feels like fall, man.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
He take you live to the frozen tundra at Lambeau Field.
Where they've never had a Super Bowl.
And never will.
No.
So what I kind of thought we'd do here is let's lay down, first things first, the predictions for the divisional matchups. The what teams are going to make it out of the, we'll start with the AFC East, your divisional winners.
Divisional winners?
Yes. Add them on the pick.
Shoot. I mean, that there's not a team in there that really sticks out to me, so I'm just going to grasp at straws. I'm going to say Miami.
You know, Miami is not the worst bet you could possibly make here. That would be New England. But also, I don't expect that, while I think they'll probably make the playoffs, they're not going to be the division winners. That division is absolutely Buffalo's to win until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Give me the Bills to take the division, but I do think, spoiler alert, I do think the Dolphins will still make the playoffs, and the Jets will be on the outside looking in. Womp, womp. Up next, the AFC North, where really any team in this division, I feel, has a chance to at least make a playoff appearance.
This is a much tighter division.
Yes, it is.
I'm definitely going. I mean, and I usually go Baltimore, but this time, I'm serious. Give me Baltimore.
And honestly, smart pick, given that Lamar Jackson, he's like the just the king of the regular season, but seems like when he gets to the playoffs, when he gets that big game, he's kind of at this point he's starting to develop a reputation as a something of a playoff choke artist. And this year, I don't think will be an exception necessarily, but I don't think he's winning the division. Give me Joe Burrow. Honestly, Burrow probably for comeback player of the year at this point. Give me the Cincinnati Bengals. Up next, and I'll spoiler it again, I think multiple teams will make the playoffs out of the AFC North. Next, the South. To me, it's a slam dunk choice, but let's see what Adam thinks.
Oh, I mean, really? I mean, I don't see a team that's really poking their head out at me. I'm gonna say Jacksonville.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just grasping at straws here.
Fair. And the Jags are seemingly, by most of the experts, predicted to finish at a bare minimum second in the division. But to me, in that division, it's all about the Houston Texans, man. Like, C.J. Stroud may have finally broken the curse of the Ohio State quarterback.
Uh-oh.
The offense is just, like, chock full of Pro Bowl guys. They added Stephon Diggs in the offseason, who, clubhouse cancer though he may be, is still one of the best wideouts in the league. They added Joe Mixon in the offseason. They also added to their offensive line in Laremy Tunsil. And then Nico Collins and Tank Dell are nothing to mess with either as far as weapons that Stroud has to play with.
Right.
And D'Amico Ryan's just, it's amazing, the coaching. Like, he's managed to just turn that thing around in just record time. In fact, he and Stroud were the third rookie head coach and quarterback duo since 1950 to win a playoff game. The most recent being... watching the most recent being Rex Ryan and the Sanchez, Mark Sanchez. And the season before that, John Harbaugh and Joe Flacco. And if, I mean, the O-line, it has an injury history of sorts. And everyone outside of Shaq Mason has missed some time either last year or in training camp. And there is not a great deal of depth there, so they're going to need to stay healthy. But if they do, just the weapons that C.J. Stroud has at his disposal, and if Damian Pierce ends up being anything behind Joe Mixon, like, that running game is going to be deadly, man. Give me Houston far and away to, like, they could be the first team to clinch a division this year. Put it on the board. Texans are the first team to clinch their division.
Well, that says more about the other teams in the AFC South.
It does, but it also, and I tell you, it says a lot about Houston. Yep. The AFC West. So, if we're going to be honest here, it's a two-team race, is it not? Like, no one's expecting the Broncos and the Raiders to do anything.
No, no, it isn't. I mean,
I don't think anyone's expecting Bo Nix to lead that team to the top of the West. And the Raiders, I'll be honest, I don't know who the Raiders are starting at quarterback. So you basically got the Chiefs, your defending Super Bowl champions, and Jim Harbaugh and the Los Angeles Chargers.
For me, it's not much of a contest. KC, they've proven themselves season in and season out. So, yeah, give me the Kansas City Swifties.
And as good as I do expect the Chargers to be, and I think they will make the playoffs, I think Harbaugh might be the QB whisperer that Justin Herbert has desperately needed, because Lord knows, like, the last couple guys, like, have not managed to do a whole lot with him. Like, he's not a bad quarterback. Like, there's no reason that team shouldn't be in some sort of playoff contention. Now, the problem is that, at least on paper, the Chargers have the worst receiving core possibly in the league. DJ Chark is the only guy in that room, remember him, who has eclipsed 1,000 receiving yards in a season. Like, Joshua Palmer is your number one guy, and he was third on the depth chart last year behind Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, who are, of course, both gone. Like, they're a really, really green receiver core. Like, Chark is the one guy with actual experience, and he can't even crack top of the depth chart. So that's going to make life difficult for Herbert and Harbaugh. But I do fully expect that they could at least make the playoffs. Now, moving on, that said, give me KC, and that's, I think, the first one that you and I are in full agreement on.
Yep.
Moving on to the wild cards in the AFC. You get three of them. Who you got?
I've already moved on to the NFC. Hang on a second. Let me go back.
Okay.
Okay, Buffalo. Cincy. And LA Chargers.
I feel like that's fair. I'm taking the Dolphins. I do think two teams are coming out of the AFC East. I think two teams are coming out of the North. I expect Baltimore to make it in as well. And for my third, I think you're right. I gotta go Harbaugh. And the Los Angeles Chargers. I think DJ Chark will end up being the difference there, and honestly might not be a bad guy for you to pick up in fantasy if he's available in your league, because I guarantee you he's probably going to get the bulk of the targets on that roster. There ain't a whole lot there. Moving on to the NFC. We start in the NFC East, where there are a couple arguments to be made for who could actually win that division, but I would say there's only one to finish dead last. Adam.
NFC East, oh, it's got to be the Eagles all the way.
I would say it's got to be, yeah, I got to take Philly as well. And I can't believe I'm agreeing with you on this, but it's as good as I expect the Cowboys will be, unfortunately. I don't think they're winning the division. Philly's too good for that to happen.
This may be like a Week 17 kind of thing, but, I mean, I definitely think Philly's going to win out. He's going to take the East.
You know, I kind of wouldn't, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, the offense in Philly, I mean, I don't think they've ever had this just much of an all-star, like, offense as like any time in their history. Like Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. And they also added John Dotson as well. The O-line, of course, is going to be a bit of a question just because, I mean, Jason Kelce obviously retired. But, I mean, that offense, there's no reason they shouldn't be top five in the league.
Right. Now, for what it's worth, the Eagles do play Jerry World, the Dallas Cowboys, on the second-to-last game of the season. So, I mean, I could see that being a big storyline.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And the Cowboys may well have caught up by then. Like, this, the first month of the season is going to be rough. Five of their first seven games are against playoff teams from last season. And while I don't think there may not be a better connection in football than Dak Prescott to CeeDee Lamb, can you think of a more iconic combination? But for real, those two, like he said, Lamb set a team record last year in passing yards and led the league in catches. Like those two, like we saw just how much they carved up the Lions in that late season game last year. Like there was no stopping CeeDee Lamb. So I mean, there's definitely an argument to be made. But I think it's going to be a slow start, and that's going to be enough for the Eagles to gain ground that they will not ultimately give back. Right. How about the NFC South?
NFC South. Well, you're skipping over a couple. I see what you're doing. Yeah,
well, okay. I'm saving that one for last, obviously.
Sure. NFC South, wow. I don't know, because it's kind of all garbage, honestly.
You're not wrong at all.
I mean,
like, the only reason someone's making the playoffs in that division is because somebody has to.
Okay, spoiler alert, I'm probably not picking a second team out of this cesspool.
You don't say.
You know what? I have nothing to go on this. Give me New Orleans. Give me the Saints.
So, interestingly, a lot of the experts are picking them to finish either third or fourth in the division. And, well, I'll be honest, it's, for me, not all that hard to really to see why that is. Like, that's not that's a team that probably isn't going to be particularly competitive. Like, they pretty much overhauled everything except Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Brought in a new offensive coordinator. You at least bring back most of your main skill players on offense, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and Alvin Kamara. But the O-line issues still exist. Like, you'll remember last year, Derek Carr got hurt early on. They couldn't protect him.
Yep.
That really, they haven't done much to fix that, unfortunately for them. But for as good as they finished last season, it was mostly them beating up on teams that hadn't cracked 500. I don't expect that they're going to make the playoffs. Honestly, no team in this division deserves to make the playoffs. But someone has to, so it's probably the Falcons. They have their QB in Kirk Cousins. They have, you know, some good skilled players in Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson. And they acquired a couple solid, really good Pro Bowl players on defense. They got Matthew Judon from the Patriots, and they picked up Justin Simmons as a safety. So I could see, the offense should take a step forward because you have a real quarterback now, but there are still a few concerns there. But someone has to win this lousy division, so give me the Falcons.
So, we got to give a winner somewhere. So, all right, here we go.
Moving on to the NFC West. This should be an interesting one because, I mean, yeah, everyone expects the Seahawks and Cardinals are going to be trash. But you do have the Niners, who have been the established kind of dominant team in the division, and you have the stupid Rams, who are expected to contend as well.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Give me the stupid Rams.
you would take the stupid Rams.
I would take the stupid Rams.
I'm sorry. I can't. I don't want to see it happen. Don't get me wrong. I hate San Fran because they're going to be the biggest obstacle the Lions face to getting to the Super Bowl this year. But I got to go with San Fran in this division. They basically brought back the entire roster that just won the NFC last season and basically all of your offensive starters. They were dominant last year. They were the top team in points per game, in efficiency, and they finally have a full offseason of, you know, of stability in some capacity with Brock Purdy running it back. And this is honestly probably their best chance to win a Super Bowl. They're not going to I don't see him slouching now. Give me San Fran to win that division. And then finally, the NFC North.
Yes.
And I don't think I need to say all that much.
No.
Have at it. Who you got?
Lions. Detroit Lions. Honolulu Blue and Silver. Forward down the field.
You know, I have to agree with you. I cannot possibly argue, like, Could I sit here and say that there's an argument that the Pack could win the division? Yeah, I could absolutely make that argument. Jordan Love, you know, he was the first-year starter last year. He's had a full offseason with this core of receivers. We're like the youngest in the league. He's got decent weapons. But I can't, in my heart, make that argument because, A, the Packer defense is still kind of an issue. That was the issue last year, and I imagine it's going to continue to be. Also, you'll remember this offseason, the Packers have had at one point or another five different kickers on their roster, and they ended up going with an undrafted rookie in Braden Narveson, who was claimed off waivers from the Titans. So defense and special teams are very much going to be an issue for them, and I realize we're not ones to talk considering that Dan Campbell hates his kicker, but no matter who it is, but at the same point in time, Packers may actually have it worse than us in that department. Yeah. And also, I mean, come on. You had seven Pro Bowlers on this roster. All of the and seven of them are back. Like, you've got Amon-Ra coming back, Penei Sewell, Goff, and the arguably the best offensive coordinator in the league. You actually addressed the big issue that we were screaming out in the offseason in your defense. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of new talent, a lot of new faces, and a lot of relatively unproven talent, but I still absolutely think that that is the team to beat in the NFC North, and you will not convince me otherwise.
That's right.
Wild card. Who you got?
Wild card. Dallas. Got Dallas, San Fran, and Green Bay.
I hate myself for this, but I've got to at least agree with stupid Dallas, unfortunately. I hate the Cowboys so very, very much.
Yeah.
I've also, I think, got to give it to the Pack. They're going to make it in. They're good enough to make the playoffs. I just don't think they're good enough to overtake the Lions. My third, give me Matt Stafford and the stupid Rams. Now, who's your matchup in the Super Bowl? Who's winning the AFC, Adam?
The AFC?
The AFC.
Okay. Ah. Yikes.
Yikes indeed.
I'm glad that I'm outside of an arm's reach from you. I'm going to go Kansas City.
Well, of course you're going to go with Kansas City. I mean,
most football fans don't want to. They're tired of Kansas City. They're done. They've won. They've been there. They're ready to move on.
I understand it.
Unless you're from Missouri, you don't care.
I feel it in my soul, and I also am ready for KC to be done. Like, yep. If this thing could end now, that'd be fantastic.
Yep.
That said, I think it's going to be the Bengals.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I think Lamar's going to choke in the playoffs again. I think the title game's going to end up being Cincy and KC. And I think Joe Burrow ends up coming out on the upside on that one.
I mean, like, they got to the big dance a couple of seasons ago, so, I mean, it's possible.
It's absolutely possible. And honestly, KC, I have so many questions. I have so many questions about that team. Like, yes, they're absolutely the favorite to win their division without question. But there's a lot of questions with that team. Like, yeah, their wide receivers room has improved significantly. I mean, but you are still trusting a lot of young guys. Like, Xavier Worthy is going to end up playing a very big role in this offense and looked very good in training camp and in the preseason. And I absolutely believe Rashee Rice is going to be a big part of that game. Hollywood Brown still, of course, recovering from a dislocated shoulder. And he's got speed, but he also tends to drop the ball a lot.
Yeah.
And that's been, well, there's been some issues with that on this team.
Yep.
Also, the defense is has been very injury prone already in the preseason, for what that's worth. And as you'll remember last year, the Chiefs wide receiver group led the league in drops with 25, and adding Hollywood Brown's not exactly going to fix that.
No.
Who is your NFC participant in the Super Bowl?
I'm saying this not just as a homer, but I think the Lions have done the work. They've put in the time. I think it's going to be the Lions going to the Super Bowl.
Who do you think they're playing in the NFC title game?
Oh.
For that matter, who do you think KC's playing in the title game? Or in the AFC title game, I mean.
Well, I'm going to go, let me see. AFC title game, probably Cincinnati. I mean, I could really honestly see that. Because yeah, you made a good point. You've done your homework.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Lions and Philly in the AFC, NFC.
I could see it. I expect, though, a rematch of last year. San Fran's, like, all in because they've got their core, and this may be their last best shot at winning a title. It's going to be Lions and San Fran again. I think the Lions are going to win the Super Bowl. Who's winning it this year, Adam? Lay it on me.
The Detroit Lions.
Are you really going to make me be in agreement with you on this?
Yep. Come on over. Come over to the dark side. We've got cookies.
I can't believe I'm saying that, but the Lions absolutely can win a Super Bowl this year. They should win a Super Bowl this year. Quite frankly, anything short of being in the Super Bowl is going to be a massive disappointment. Sorry. It is what it is.
Yep.
There's your picks. Back after this. It's that time of the year again.
Woohoo!
And not a moment too soon, to be entirely honest with you. It is Friday. It is almost the end of the show, which means, naturally, it is time for the picks.
Yay!
And as we usually do for this bit, joining us on the phones is the resident degenerate gambler of Happy Hour, our good friend Drew Duffney.
Hey.
The guy that has a direct line to every bookie in Vegas can tell us what's really going to happen this weekend of the National Football League.
I'm saying the Chiefs are going to lose because Taylor's going to break up with Travis. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, my.
That's a hot take.
Such a hot take. So let's start with the game that's going on tonight in Brazil for reasons that have never been fully explained to me. The Green Bay Packers are taking on the Philadelphia Eagles tonight at 8:15. So a game that no one's going to be able to watch because it's on Peacock. And in a country where they arguably may or may not even care about NFL football. This should be fun.
Yeah. What do they call it? They call soccer football. What do they call it? They call it American football?
I assume so.
Gotcha.
That sounds right. We'll go ahead and start with Adam Harahawk on the pick.
In Brazil, the Philadelphia Eagles will come out on top.
Drew Duffney.
I'm going with Green Bay because I feel like in Brazil, Cheese Wedge has got a lot better of a chance of lasting than an American Eagle.
Drew Logic never fails to amaze me. I'm going Philly. Philly's a 2.5-point favorite here, and there's a reason for that. Philly is, I mean, they're unquestionably the more talented of these two teams. Like, I feel like Jordan Love and his group will develop some decent chemistry over the course of the season, but we ain't there yet. Gimme Philly. Up next, we start with your Sunday afternoon games. We start with Oh, let's go ahead and do. Oh my God, some of these matchups are just absolute garbage.
Oh yeah,
they ain't great. We'll start though with the Arizona Cardinals taking on the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. Buffalo is favored by 6.5. Drew.
Yeah, I think first of the season, Buffalo's not going to want to really put their first string out there because they think they've got it in the bag because it's a home game and they're favored. Give me the Cards, just on a whim.
All right, I'll take the win here, Adam.
not me. Give me Buffalo, and they will cover the 6.5-point spread.
Buffalo's absolutely going to cover 6.5. Up next, let's do. This one is closer than I expected it to be, but then again, I forgot that their starting QB is done for the year. The Minnesota Vikings and the New York Giants, who I fully expect are going to be, as mentioned, I don't know if I ended up saying in the last one, but they're going to be dead last in the NFC East this year. Like, they're the one team that has no chance to contend. This is Danny Dimes' last season to get it together. And he goes up against a team that, lost J.J. McCarthy for the season before the season ever started. So I believe Sam Darnold's getting the start here. That's definitely something. That I'm not sure what, but it's certainly something. Adam.
I agree with you that the G-men are going to have a rough season, but I think they're going to start out on a positive note. Give me the Giants.
Drew.
No, I think there's going to be a lot of pillaging and plundering going on, and I think all you're going to see is just a big pile of purple on top of the Giants. Give me the Vikings.
I'm not going to lie. I think I got to agree with Adam on this one. Like, the G-men aren't particularly great, but the Vikings don't even have a quarterback. Even if they do have Justin Jefferson, who's like a top five receiver in the league. No, give me New York at home. Up next, we have the Titans throwing, Will Levis out there to take on Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. This is going to be interesting. Like, Williams has been highly touted by a lot of people. I don't think he's going to be any good. But Levis last year went 3-6 as a rookie. Had 8 touchdowns and 4 interceptions on the year. They've added pieces around him. They signed Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd as receivers along the way and got kind of really bolstered that offensive line to boot. We'll start with Drew Duffy on the pick.
I think it's too hot for the Bears to perform a peak performance right now. So go ahead and give me Tennessee.
Adam.
I've got to agree with Drew on this one. Give me Tennessee.
Well, I believe we have our first clean sweep of the season. Give me the Titans. You think I'm picking the Bears to win anything? You must be out of your mind. Up next.
Out your mind.
We have a team that should at least be in playoff contention until the last couple weeks of the season. And a team that only is in playoff contention because the rest of their division is trash. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta. Falcons and Kirk Cousins and company are favored by 3.5, sorry. We start with Adam.
Give me the Steelers.
Drew.
Atlanta on their home turf, and I think they'll cover 3.
They should, you would think. And at home, Kirk Cousins' first game there, knowing that, I better not be terrible because Michael Penix Jr. is just sitting waiting for me to screw up so he can take over. A lot of pressure, and as we know, Kirk Cousins doesn't historically do well under pressure. You know what? I'm taking the upset here. Give me the Steelers. Up next, the AFC South matchup that I'm not sure if it's going to make a damn bit of difference because we've already established who's running away with the South.
Yeah.
The Houston Texans taking on the Colts in Indy. Houston only favored by 3. We start with Drew.
I am going to take the Colts. I think they're going to leave a big old horseshoe iron right in the forehead.
Adam.
Well, we talked about the Houston Texans, and I think Sean kind of brought me over to that side. So, yeah, give me Houston.
Yeah, there are far too many weapons for, we saw what that offense managed to do last year. I mean, they won a playoff game with a rookie head coach and a rookie QB, which is an exceedingly rare thing. And adding Joe Mixon and Steph Diggs to the mix, it's only going to get better from there. And I'm still not sure what to think about Anthony Richardson, to be entirely honest with you. He only played 4 games last year before he ended up getting season-ending surgery. He didn't play much in the preseason, ultimately. And there's accuracy issues. Obviously, you know, health is going to be a concern. I mean, having Jonathan Taylor in the backfield certainly helps a lot. But there's too many things working against Indy here, I think. Give me the Texans. Up next, the Dallas Cowboys headed to Cleveland to take on the Browns. And Cleveland actually is favored in this matchup by 2.5.
Yeah, I need Vegas to show me their work on this one.
Well, the big thing is I don't believe CeeDee Lamb is playing this week. I mean, that's the only thing that really that makes a whole lot of sense here, at least to me. Like, Lamb had said he was going to be ready without limitations after missing training camp, but if he does play this week, he's expected to, I mean, it's not like he's going to be at 100% ultimately. Maybe that's why Cleveland's a favorite here. I mean, it's certainly not because Deshaun wants it. I mean, it's not anything he's doing that's really favoring this. They're worried that the spotlight of having Tom Brady making his television debut is going to be too much for them.
You think that's it?
I don't know. I can't explain it any other way, man. Adam, who you got?
Give me the Cowboys.
Drew.
I'm saying the Browns all the way to the Super Bowl.
Ha. I'll be honest with you. Only because Vegas must have them favored for a reason. And also, I hate the Cowboys, so give me Cleveland. Your Monday night football game this week, the New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers, heading to San Fran to take on the 49ers. San Fran's favored by 4.5, which I believe is also the over-under on how many snaps Aaron Rodgers is going to take before his O-line knocks him out again for the season. We start with Drew Duffney on the pick.
If this matters, what time does this game take place?
8:20 on Monday night.
I actually can bet live on this game. So I'm going to say the 49ers.
Okay. Adam Harahawk on the pick.
How is San Fran only favored by 4.5? That's what inquiring minds want to know. Give me the Niners. And yes, they will cover the 4.5.
I believe that's an absolutely valid point. There's no way that San Fran's going to lose this game. I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers makes another early exit and then goes off to his cave to take a bunch of ayahuasca or whatever it is that he does. Yeah, give me San Fran the points. Now, we come to the matchup that you really care about, and I know we all really care about in this room, and that is your Detroit Football Lions on Sunday Night Football taking on Matt Stafford and the stupid Rams.
This is turning into Bob Swirsky's super fan for the Lions so quickly.
it really, truly is. And it's a weird situation for us because this is not a position that we're very much used to around here. Yeah. So we start with Adam Harahawk on the pick.
Oh, I think the Lions are going to win by 185 points. I think it's going to be an absolute bloodbath. No, I am taking the Lions. I don't think it's going to be a bloodbath. In fact, it might be one of those last 2 minutes.
Nail biters.
Yeah, it's going to be a nail biter. So give me 24-22.
Drew Duffney.
Lions are definitely going to do it. And I think there's going to be 2 field goals involved. I think it is going to be 27-20.
That's a bold statement, especially considering that I don't even know who our kicker is. I guarantee he's not going to see a whole lot of time other than for extra points because, as we've established, Dan Campbell hates his kickers. So, give me the Lions.
Maybe he's turning over a new leaf. New season, new leaf.
Maybe. But that said, I think it's going to be a higher scoring game than you guys want to give it credit for. I really do. So, I'm going to say Detroit 31, Rams 20.